The internet is coaching our kids. When boys hear that on repeat, it shapes how they see themselves. We can't leave it to those voices. We have to be louder, together.
With EE.
We need to coach them, guide them, back them.
Building our boys up every chance we get.
Be yourself.
Back your mates.
Confidence comes from within. Yeah!
As proud partner of the England teams, EE has support and guidance to help build all our boys up, on and off the pitch. Search EE Yes Boys.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Nation by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome, everybody, to the Glass Cannon Network for another episode of Pendragon, Under an Iron Sky. And let's be honest, we're all only here because HBO is in between episodes of The Pit, and we can't be watching The Pit, so we might as well play some Pendragon.
We might as well be here.
This is not going to age that well because this has been recorded earlier than when you all see it, but I'm sure you all realize then, like, that was a good season. So I get it, you know? Yeah. So, that's where I'm at. How is everybody doing? Everyone good?
Yeah, man. Just counting down to the next episode of The Pit. We could fit in some Pendragon here, I'm sure.
I was good until the episode of The Pit I was watching ended, and then I slipped into like a black hole. I almost forgot this was happening. Joe had to text me 10 times before I finally was like, oh, you're right. I should get off the couch and come and do this. So that's where I'm at.
Paula, are you actually watching The Pit, or are you just leaning
into
The
Pit? I'm not. I would like to watch it, but I have not watched it.
There is a character in The Pit who reminds me of you, though. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, man.
I think I know.
She has similar hair color, but also bangs. Is this bad? I can't watch it because
if I'm watching, I go, I could have played that part. I'm just going to get depressed about my acting career.
No, I don't think.
Well, it's just red hair and bangs. Okay, got it.
You would not have probably had as good of a shot at that role as she did, because the actress is the daughter of Brad Dourif.
One of our unsung heroes.
Yeah. Unless your father is also Brad Dourif. I don't think
my father is Eric Schmidt, but not that Eric Schmidt. So, unfortunately, we have nothing to do with Google or their money.
I should say, for those of you who are watching The Pit, there is an actor. I don't think we've told you guys about this yet. There's an actor on the newest season, the new intern, who's like the really tall one with the curly hair.
Ogilvy, my enemy. Yes. As of episode 5, he might change.
Lucas Iverson's the name of the actor, was at least until recently a huge Glass Cannon fan.
Really?
He came to one of our shows in New York.
He's changed his mind.
I have not spoken to him lately, but I know Matthew has, and he was, as of the best information that I have, a Glass Cannon fan.
Okay. Let's look at us. Look, so what you're telling me is that I am like 3 degrees of separation from like my star crush on that show.
You're even closer in general. I am friends with and have acted with a woman who is on the show this season.
Who? Tell us.
Her name's Casey. I don't know what part she plays.
She's
a doctor. I don't know.
That's good comms. Good comms, Paula.
I see it on her Instagram, like so I know it's happened.
I want to Google this right now. This is why we need an actor producer.
We have acted together before. She's not like my best friend.
And I have yet to see this show, so yell at me in the comments.
So interesting. I Googled Casey the Pit. And actually what comes up is Cassie McKay, which is the character that reminds us of Paula.
Oh, funny.
So, there you go. Casey Griebel as security guard Casey. Casey Griebel?
I'll pull it up for you, Paula.
Before the next episode, let's find out what's going on with the pit. The real pit we're all in is the pit of despair we were left in after last episode of Pendragon, right? The general one. Exactly. Powerful. Yeah. Oh, who are we looking at?
She is with Noah Wyle. Just there she is.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
I've acted with her.
Do you want to hear my searing hot take about Noah Wyle?
Depends on who you're angry. Go ahead.
No, go.
Please. Bearing in mind that this could easily get back to him.
We both have connections to the show.
My searing hot take about Noah Wyle. Good looking older man.
Yeah, wow.
That's my hot take.
Groundbreaking.
I totally agree.
Wow.
Okay, good.
Put that. Okay. Anyway, this is what you're all here for. This is welcome to our Glass Cannons Pit Recap podcast. We'll be here every week. Unfortunately, to pay for the Pit Recap podcast, we have a sponsor called Chaosium, which is why we're going to play some Pendragon. And tell you what, we'll get straight into it after the break. Go buy some Pendragon stuff using PenCannon 3 on Chaosium.com, 15% off.
Or if you're European.
Everything. Under the Pendragon label, including Skid, the book that I sent you since we last spoke. I'm not sure if you have it with you because you're in a different room.
No, I'm in a different location right now. But yeah, those are gorgeous. They are fantastic. Yeah. And those books, like, they're actually like amazing sources for Arthurian lore, even just outside the game. Even if you don't play Pendragon, they're just incredible and like the legendariums. They're great.
The books that Skid is talking about are specifically The Arthurian Companion by Phyllis Ann Carr and La Morte d'Arthur by Sir Thomas Malory.
The annotated Morte d'Arthur.
Annotated. Yeah.
Amazing. Two really beautifully produced books. They're amazing. Yes. So
you can get your discount with that too. Is there anything else anyone wanted to get off their chest before we dive in?
I think we covered all things.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, just take a break. I'm ready. Just take a break. All right.
Yeah. Okay, well, don't touch the proverbial dial because we'll be right back with Under an Iron Sky, The Queen's Wedding, Part 2. Welcome back to Pendragon, Under an Iron Sky, The Queen's Wedding, Part 2. In the last episode, the first portion of this story, our player knights were invited to the wedding of Lady Montacute and the now Lord Maurice, a mounted sergeant who had some interesting backstory with Dame Safina. The interesting backstory being that he asked for her hand in marriage and she told him where to go. Is that an expression that you use?
Like, yeah.
Go over there. I don't want you over here. Everybody is at this wedding.
We put... Oh, no. Yogurt on eggs. What did you think we put on eggs? Maple syrup on eggs.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. I didn't mean it. Sorry. Just ignore me. Please don't let me interrupt.
By the time this episode airs, I will have been vindicated by all the comments. I swear. I swear. That's how confident I am. Anyway, everybody is at this wedding. Lord Idwalin from Modron's Forest, his mercenary knight, Llewellyn, Lord Owen, that the player knights met before the Battle of King Lot, notably his jester, Snoopy Winkles. Of course, Brother Melian, Sir Quegan's best friend. Just as an aside, I've started with an attempt to reconnect with my actual heritage, because my father is from Belfast. I started Gaeilge classes. I'm learning to speak Irish.
Oh, cool.
I think we may, just because of the etymology of certain names, we may have been pronouncing Sir Quegan's name incorrectly this entire time.
Really?
Because Quegan is actually a precursor to Keegan.
Yeah.
Like K-E-E-G-A-N. Yeah. So I'm not sure. I'm just throwing it. I don't think we should change it. I just thought that was a fun little
you
tidbit.
You think that we should be pronouncing Quegan Keegan?
Maybe you should, and we can continue mispronouncing.
You can do whatever you want.
Did you hear? He wants us to change how we say his name.
He's trying Keegan, to reinvent himself this right. summer. Yeah, Keegan. Saves half a syllable. Importantly, also at this wedding was Queen Morgan of Gore, the wife of one of the kings of the North who recently bent the knee to the King Arthur. She proved to be a very interesting woman in attendance, particularly for Dame Fiona, who now has an adoration for her. And where we left everybody off, the party was getting a bit late, and Dame Safina seemed to have received what could only be described perhaps as a telepathic message from the Queen Morgan. And as the night stretches on and the shadows from the dying fire grow long, the merrymaking in the hall at last begins to wane. Lords and ladies depart to their bedchambers, squires tend to passed out knights, and the troubadours from across the channel fall silent, even as revellers continue to sloppily dance to music only they can hear. Each of you remain, as well as some of the notable characters that I outlined earlier. And you, Dame Safina, watch as Queen Morgan quietly takes her leave from the hall, even as you continue to process what has just happened.
Can we quickly recap the moment where what she said to...
What she said?
Yeah, to Dame Safina.
So, just to shatter the illusion for everybody, I don't just come up with this off the top of my head. A lot of the stuff I say is often written down, but by me, not by a robot or anybody else. But what she said to you was, "Isn't it strange how a newly married woman and her husband coddle so with a child not of their blood? They are but months from discarding it, hours perhaps, should the good Lord Maurice prove strong in the wedding bed. I'm sure a knight as virtuous as you would agree that such a tender babe would do better around someone who cared for him despite his parentage. Wouldn't you say?"
And anybody who happened to be observing Sophina at this point, sitting alone on this couch, we'll see her like all of a sudden sit up straight. Her eyes are kind of like, her gaze is kind of lowered, but her eyes are kind of darting back and forth as she's hearing this message. And she suddenly looks up and says, "God? Are you there, God? It's me, Safina."
It's me,
Safina. And she... Does she know that this is, and she'll say, "Is it?" She'll try to communicate back. "Is, are you speaking to me?"
Crickets. There comes no response, yes. But importantly, while it may have been the voice of God, the voice was in, like, Queen Morgan's voice.
It was
and she
in
was
her voice.
Looking at you from across the hall.
And maybe that will register. All of a sudden, as her like eyes are kind of darting about, she'll kind of lower and they'll meet her eyes and it'll register then that it is Queen Morgan.
That happens just before she walks out of the hall, walks outside. Away. Yes.
And she'll quickly to see who is the closest in her party. Who is nearest to Sophina?
Oh, sure, it's Fiona. I think I would have drunkenly, a little bit tipsy, made my way potentially over to, I think, Llewellyn, maybe. So I don't know where he is in relation to.
He's
Sophina,
been drinking all night. I'm just sitting here still. I'm half asleep because he didn't go up to you because you didn't go up to him at Yule a couple of years ago, whenever that was, and. He hasn't. It's been awkward, but he's been sitting there.
Llewellyn.
Oh, Dame Fiona.
Have you seen Queen Morgan? Oh my goodness, she is quite nice to look at, don't you think?
Well, I wouldn't be so bold as to say so about a queen.
Of course, but, no, me either. I would never say that. Look, I think we should get some things out in the open. You don't like the Queegan, do you?
No, I'm not sure if you recall this, but he killed my brother, basically, in cold blood. Yeah.
I was there. Here's the thing. Do you think you could, like, put that behind you for any reason? Would anything motivate you to just be like, suppose I'll let it go?
Well, I did see that he's lost his eye, and everyone says that his wife hates him. So that seems like some sort of cosmic justice, then.
That might be true, that it is cosmic. And I do think those things are true. I don't know. He is odd, isn't he? But here's the thing. Look, you're nice to look out to, don't you think? I mean, I think.
I appreciate you saying that. I could never afford a looking glass, so I cannot say either way.
Wow, you don't even look at yourself. And that's how you look. I mean, truly. I mean, the accent does help. It is cute. I don't know. Maybe, look, I'm trying to decide, like, who do I like? Who do I want? And my mind does keep coming back to you.
Could you please make a flirting really subtle roll?
I think that's what's going to work. Wow.
Make a flirting roll.
For being honest.
Remember that you are drunk, so you get +5 to your flirting roll.
Heck yeah, that means I have a flirt of 13, so let's see what happens.
Draw a 20.
This is never going to happen. It's a 17. It's just going to work. Oh, no. I'm going to be single all my days.
Sorry, Dame Fiona, let me just stop you there. I appreciate what you're saying and where you're coming from, but it seems you may have also imbibed a little more. And if we're going to have a conversation like this, I'd prefer the conversation happen if you were of sound mind, so I know that you're being truly honest with yourself and others.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, Llewellyn, wait. That is the hottest thing anyone could have ever said to me. That is so appealing, and I will remember this, and when I am sober...
We love an unproblematic burn.
I will talk to you again. Have you seen... Dame Safina sure looks like something's troubling her. I should go see what that's about. And I will just walk off.
Amazing. Oh, 'cause
she's talking to the ceiling.
Yeah, that went really well, man.
Went so well.
Just crushed it, Fiona. Just crushed it.
Look, I'm bad. I'm bad at these things. My appeal is finally now 12 because I spent a point of prestige to up it. So I'm not that appealing, honestly.
You just need more wine.
Yeah.
Just a bit more. No, I think he needs more wine. So after that, I think I do probably notice Safina being like, looking pensive, so I'll go check in on her. Is everything all right? I just had a very embarrassing conversation once again with Llewellyn.
Oh, you could do so much better. And she like grabs her, like yanks her down to the chair.
Sorry, I just really appreciate that Dame Fiona's like, oh, are you okay? But before you answer, back to me.
I'm drunk.
Sophina will like grab Fiona like with her head in both her hands, like kind of stabilizing her so she like she's forced to make eye contact, and she's like, so I thought that God was speaking to me, but it turns out that it was Queen Morgan who was speaking to me, but what? In my mind, woman, in my mind. And she said, she told me that the baby was going to be discarded if we can't let anything happen to the baby. What's going to happen? Should
all right.
That horrible all right. Man.
Calm down. Yes.
Bend her well enough, as she said, I guess, as she inferred, that they don't want to take care of that child anymore.
Okay. Well, we knew, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. It was kind of a long shot that we got her to agree to take on this ward in the first place.
But didn't she want to care for a child?
Yes, but I guess if she has her own now, will she still care? I don't know. It's horrible. But also, this is so wonderful that you heard voices.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell anybody else. I thought this might be a little more of your niche.
Look, no, Vance, the old magic is awakening. Merlin himself told me the old magic is awakening, and we can do things to help usher it in, and I think you have experienced it now. It's wonderful. All right. So what do we do? We need to... Should we talk to Lady Gwynhild about this, or should we... We can't just steal the child away. That wouldn't be very honorable, but whatever it is, I believe you, and I believe you that something should happen. What do you think? Okay. All right.
It's Lady Montacute who is taking care
of the child? Sorry, it's Lady Gwynhild of Montacute.
Lady, yes. Gwynhild. Okay, sorry. Thank
of
you.
Of Montacute, yes. Interchangeable.
So, but do you think it would be impolite to ask her about that? It is her wedding day.
Well, right now I think it might be impolite because I do think they've left, the two of them. So they are probably... engaging in their marriage bed.
I don't want to walk in on that. I don't want to walk in on that.
The two of them,
they left a little while ago. But you know, they live in the hall. So like, as in, you know, this hall was connected to the bed chambers for the highborns and whatnot.
Do you think we should go check in on the baby? If the baby has its own, would the baby have its own, his own room, or is it the kind of thing where, like, with the nursery and a nursemaid, or
tonight, there would be, yeah. So maybe, for instance, someone like a handmaiden might be able to give you more information.
Yes. And Lady Queen Morgan walked off. Where has she gone to?
I don't know, but I sure would like to know, if you know what I mean. We should check in on the child, I do think. I wouldn't mind seeing that mark on him again.
Yes, the mark.
Were you earlier tonight? Were you... My accent is all over the place. Were you...
So is mine, it's fine.
talking with... My memory is fuzzy because I've been drinking too much. I think I can admit that. Were you talking to one of the... lady's maids.
I was talking to one of the lady's maids.
Maybe she can
help. Her name
is
Beatrice.
Beatrice, thank you.
Maybe Beatrice will know where the child is staying and who's in its care.
Maybe we just keep watch, you know? Just keep an eye on him tonight. And then we figure out what to do in the morning.
All right. What interest does Queen Morgan have with this child?
That is such a good question. Do you think that, oh my gosh, I've forgotten everyone's name. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sick. My brain is not firing on all. Caradoc? Am I crazy? Is that your
That's
name?
Me. That's me. I thought you were looking for an NPC, a deep NPC.
I know. This is why I was embarrassed. I'm like, what are my player names? My brain's not firing on all cylinders. I've taken too much cold medicine. Do you think Sir Caradoc might know something? There is some... He seems so, like... to date on court gossip and things. Yes. I don't know. Maybe he would have some information about Queen Morgan and why she would be interested.
Yes, let's go speak to Sir Caradoc and maybe bring Sir Keegan on this. Maybe... I feel like we all need to be wits about us.
Yes. You're right. I will begin to drink... It's not really nice to drink water. I will begin to eat a lot of bread.
Yes. I found out that medieval ale was way stronger than like ale these days. So I remember us having the ale wine discussion last, and we're like, you don't want to drink too much, so maybe I'll stick to ale. No, ale got you fucked up. Medieval ale got you fucked up. So this party is turnt, and everybody is
so
drunk.
Meanwhile, across the hall, while Dame Safina and Dame Fiona are having this conversation, Sir Caradoc and Sir Queegan are being talked at by a very drunk Brother Melian, and this has been going on for some time.
The thought of the light of God would therefore spray onto... all of us, regardless of whether you also have love for God in your heart. Unless the love that you don't have for God is viewed by God as not just the absence of love, but the vessel of hatred. In which case, God would surely smite you. And this I cannot reconcile. You know.
Says. I see.
Yes, I do quite like the idea of a light spray. Sounds rather refreshing.
I would Sorry, like I'm to think more just had a light spray and beverage. <That's>
Good.
I like the idea of a God that thoughtful that he would give unto his followers a light spray, perhaps on a late summer afternoon or something.
Exactly. About you, Sir Quigan? Do you feel like God has shined his spraying light across you and your face?
I hate this.
Yes, Sir Quigan. Sir Quigan's been sprayed upon by some of England's finest. I should think he'd have a point of view here.
I believe our Lord and Savior has rather left me alone. I believe Brother Melian, tell me,
yes.
Do you believe in fairies?
Fairies? You mean, of course, the angels that were locked out of heaven but could not get into hell, and so they were cast out to this middle world between. Yes. That's what you're referring to,
yes,
of course.
But yeah. As evil as
devils
they are.
No, I don't believe in them at all.
As evil as devils they are, you don't believe in them. That is foolish, Brother Melian. No, foolish. For they are here.
You've seen fairies,
they
have you?
They walk what? The earth, I promise you, these devils. Yes, don't look at me like that, Caradoc. Don't look at me like that.
Regan is speaking literarily. He is a great fan of the romances, and he speaks only of these fanciful inventions that populates the imaginations of those who.
But what are we to do? What right? are we to believe, Caradoc? We're to believe that Jesus, the Son, and the Father, and the Holy Ghost look over all of us and protect us at all times, and that they fight an eternal yes. war against Satan and the denizens of hell. But yet, these that were locked out of heaven, we suddenly don't believe that they wander the earth looking for how to torture souls. I'm sorry,
I will just say, I don't know exactly where we are with the schism, so I'm not sure where we're at with the Trinity yet in this point in the timeline. But yes, I take your point.
Yeah, I don't think the Council of Nicaea. What year was that?
I don't know. This is, yes, we are.
Well, I'm ahead of my time.
This is. Yeah, no, but maybe this is the conversation that spurs it, and maybe Brother Melian, I should take this to my brothers as a concept that we could talk about. I could talk to my brothers deeply.
Perhaps we...
And, oh, no, the Council of Nicaea was already way, way ahead of what we're doing. We're good.
Cool. Well, it's funny that you bring up the Council of Nicaea, which happened already, Sir Quigan. But it is something that I discuss with my brothers on our sojourns. We discuss, Sir Quigan, many things. Many things we discuss, my brothers and I.
Oh, I'm sure you do, Melian.
Yes, many things.
Well,
like what?
So many things. Like thoughts and feelings. Did you know that, now this will stay, of course, between us, we three fine gentlemen here, men of God, with love in our hearts and hatred only for those who would hate us in return. Or yes. for those who act and live differently to us.
Yes, yes. As the Lord yes. Jesus taught, yes.
But we three men, between us three, the new Lord Maurice married quite high above his station, even for a beagled mounted sergeant. I heard that he refused the hand of your compatriot, Dame Sophina. How embarrassing this event must be for her. And I must say, I am very impressed with the way she's able to hold. I haven't seen her shed a single tear In fact, she was over there throwing up a moment ago.
Erroneous information. That is scandalous gossip.
Well,
I'm surprised.
I cannot speak to where I heard it from.
Spread it so casually to people.
Well, let me. It's not casual.
Such as ourselves.
It is not casual. This is why I brought up the sanctity of the Trinity that you said, Sir Quegan. There just so happens to be three of us. It is a sign. This is a special space. So the other thing I heard about Lord Maurice is that he is desperate for a true-born son, a true-born heir. And honestly, who among us would not be desperate for a true-born son, a true-born heir?
But you, Brother Melian. You.
Of course, me. Yes, as a man of... Yes, yes, of course. I am wedded only to my own beliefs and strength and love for my brothers.
You are married to God, as theology dictates?
Exactly. Yes, yes. No, but... Lord Maurice, I heard, is contacted some of my brothers about taking in this child to raise him as a monk.
Oh.
And I've tried to explain. That is very young. We don't even know if this boy you'd yet have the calling. Of course, we may not know. We could always, you know, put such things to the test and find out should this boy have the calling. You know, he could run the stables, he could prepare food, he could launder our clothing and scrub the floors. And then when he comes of age, perhaps we will discover whether or not he has the calling. But I just think that it's strange. He, Lord Maurice, has been having these conversations outside of the presence of our Lady Gwenhild of Montacute.
It does seem that he is rather urgently looking for a way to rid himself of this previous child.
I heard he had a bastard son, who he treats with just as much care. For instance, where is he tonight, this bastard child of his?
An excellent question. Well, I find all of this very interesting, but I am also incredibly drunk, and I do not wish to contribute to any further scandalous gossip that you may carry on to your councils in Asia Minor or wherever. I shall turn in at this moment. And he wraps his fancy cloak around him.
Did he take it off, Sir Quegan? I'm pretty sure you gave it to Sir Quegan.
Yeah, I knocked Sir Quegan over and grab it off of him. Rip it off of him.
And I say, well, there are no more ladies for you to impress, so I shall take it back. Well, good night, my fine fellows.
Good night,
and best of luck to the newly married couple. Yes.
Best of luck.
Can I ask one question?
No. All
right.
go ahead. One
this
question
is more. This is not. This is a matter of historical curiosity rather than plot significance. Mm-hmm. You mentioned bards from across the channel.
I did.
Would those have been Troubadours from Brittany? Do you think?
I don't know. Whatever France was called, troubadours across the way.
Well, there was because Brittany was, a lot of the.
You tell me.
When the Anglo-Saxons invaded the British Isles, a lot of the original Britons fled to Brittany, which is why it's called Brittany. And the bards there were very famous. And in fact, and I just wanted to get a chance to slip in this little historical anecdote, which I think is very cool. Mm-hmm. When William the Conqueror, when he engaged in his conquest of Great Britain, he brought with him a lot of these Brittonic troubadours, and he had them singing tales of King Arthur. Because that was one of the justifications that he used for his conquest is he saw himself as the successor to King Arthur and taking vengeance on these horrible Saxons who had invaded the island. He was taking it back from them for Arthur's sake, which is kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. Last week, Skid, you also asked a bit of a spoilery question about Morgan's relationship to Arthur. I can confirm that at this point in the timeline, Arthur's parentage is still a mystery.
Okay.
So there would be no connection just yet. So
yeah, I guess. Okay, that makes
sense. I'm just
letting
everyone know that. Yeah, yeah.
Good to know.
So we would know what Morgan's parentage is, but not.
Mm-hmm.
So,
So, Dame Safina and Dame Fiona, are you wanting to share any of this information with your other compatriots who look like they might be about to leave?
Yeah, I think we'd be looking for them.
Yeah, yeah, Quigan's packing up to leave, and then what, you interrupt
with
him?
Lady Diana there too?
Yes. Yes. We must go home.
Is it too late to go on the road? Perhaps we have you arranged lodgings locally for us, my lord husband?
No, it's not that far. We'll be fine.
It is dangerous on the road in the night, and I fear you may have... Well, whatever you think is best for you and your children and your newborn
son. I think at this point, we, like, come over, and Dame Fiona's like, we must all stay the night here. We mustn't leave. Because I think we need to keep an eye on our wards.
You stink of
an eye.
There have been recent... She looks around to see if anybody's looking around. There have been recent developments. I heard a voice in my head, and it wasn't God. It was Queen Morgan, and she was telling me information about this child that could possibly be abandoned because of this union.
Oh, no, the child will not be abandoned. The child will be given to the monks to be raised as a monk.
No. Maurice? Not Maurice's child. The baby.
Yes, the baby.
Thomas.
Maurice's new child, yes.
They're going to turn him over to the monks.
Well, he is. I don't know what sort of sailor Lady Gwynhild has in it, unfortunately. Now, it seems rather crazy to assume that she would not have to sign off on such a thing, but Maurice apparently is asking around about having the monks raise the child. Which is terrible.
Yeah. Amongst Brother Melian.
We
cannot allow it. The monks don't even believe the right things.
Well, I don't know about that, but they can't lactate. I mean, how are they meant to care for a child? They cannot even feed it.
Also that. Look.
Unless it is some secret order of lactating monks that I'm not aware of.
Sakaradoc.
He's so wasted.
Put a pin in that.
Sakaradoc, would you know any
reason? I've
heard
the Franciscans. I've heard tales, but I don't believe them. And I wouldn't.
You've heard so many things. Do any of them have to do with Queen Morgan taking an interest in a bastard? Yes, why is she so interested in this child?
What do you mean you heard her in your head?
Thomas is not a bastard. We know who his mother and father is. They just aren't here.
Well, hold on just a moment. You're going on and on.
Bastard, even
about this child of which you're not the parents of this child. They must decide what is best for them. But you're just glossing over. The Queen Morgan spoke to you in your head.
I'm not crossing over it. I thought I was getting a message from God, and it turns out it wasn't God, which is leaving me very confused right now in my
face.
You
confused the voice of Lady of Queen Morgan with God himself.
Oh, she is so gorgeous. You know, she's so beautiful. You can't blame me for this.
I'm not blaming you for anything. Look, we all know that you're hurting right now. It must have been very difficult to see Maurice. I'm sorry. I said too much.
It was not difficult. I said no. I said no before any of this.
Oh, sure you did.
I said no before any of this. I said no.
He puts a finger to an ear. Woo! That got bitchy.
Lady Diana is sitting there with the baby.
I'll have you know.
Yes.
Lady Diana is there with her baby.
Well, Dame Safina, I must say that the ladies' court all said that he refused your proposal.
No, you listen to me.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I know we don't know each other very well.
Safina.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
You made out like a bandit.
I said no, because if he was an honorable man, he would have wed the woman he impregnated, but he didn't, didn't he?
He impregnated you?
Not me. Oh,
Sir Quigan. The bastard is yours.
No, we've been hanging out this entire time.
You're famous for your virtue.
Oh man, thank you very much, and my beautiful arms, and how good I smell, and I...
Dude, our characters have to get drunk more often. This is amazing.
We're getting a lot of information.
And I say, had I wanted to marry him, I would a long time ago. This was many, many, what are our downtimes called in
it
this game?
It was at least two years ago.
Look. I need you to... I know we're all drinking, and I know that things can get a little exaggerated.
I feel fine now.
Please. I need to know. He looks at you with his one creepy eye. I need to know. Did you imagine you heard the queen in your head? Or did she do something spiritual to you? Unnatural?
I don't know what witchcraft this was. But she made eye contact with me and put that message in my brain, and then she skedaddled off.
There is something very strange going on here. Something that goes beyond our mortal world. Something I cannot understand, especially now. I need to clear my head. All right, he turns to Diana. We will stay the night. Yes. I will arrange for us to stay here. Questions must be answered.
Excellent. It's very late, and I'm very tired, and we have a newborn child, so...
Yes, but we do need to borrow your husband for a little bit. I'm very sorry.
All right.
Night's business, you know how it is. Yes.
Yes.
Well, so who should show me to our chambers?
I will deal with it.
She looks around for like a page.
Yeah, exactly. Someone will take care of you. Just walk around the line. Someone will come by.
Beatrice is still there. She's trying to. She's rolling Lord Owen onto his side so he doesn't choke to death.
Beatrice, if I may, so sorry to interrupt. I know you've got your hands full here, but would it be possible at this very late hour to arrange for some lodging for myself and the family? See, we thought we were going to leave much earlier, and now it is late and the road is unsafe. I'm afraid my wife and children need a place to sleep.
Oh, yes, of course. There is a spare room. Just in the same hall as the lord and lady, it is appropriate for a vassal knight of your
yes, I knew that
of your stature,
of course,
to take her.
Well, then we shall set up there. Would you show us the way, or would I already know it? Do I know my way around this place?
Relatively, but you probably don't spend a lot of time in the actual private chambers of the hive
for real.
So, you know, but yeah. So Beatrice could lead Lady Diana and your children at
least
a bit.
If you
would now,
if you'd be so kind, I just need to finish up some business here with the others. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. And Lady Diana and the two children. I guess Jasper is also like asleep, even though he's two. So she's got like all these babies and
poor thing.
Wanders away.
Yeah.
All right. Now, everyone hush. So Queegan. No, so Candock. She puts more bread into her mouth. I'm sorry. It's been a night. Look. Have you heard... Do you know anything of this Queen Morgan? You just seem like you know a lot about a lot of people. And why would she express such interest in the well-being of this random baby... he's not a baby anymore, he's a toddler, but who we rescued from being accused of being a changeling. Why does she care? Would you know? And if you don't know, who would?
Well, I will say that, he looks around, is that this Queen Morgan has a bit of a mysterious reputation in the courts of the High. In the Seven Kingdoms. In fact, it is said that she has dealings direct with Merlin himself.
I do too.
And so she may have some vision that we are not privy to. Perhaps there is some importance to this child that she has attributed, with the knowledge that she has. I do not know. But I am not one to grant importance to these sort of things, but you say you heard her speak to you in your head.
Yes.
This would lend credence to some of these rumors.
Some magical spell.
Some spell, some works. Perhaps that she learned from Merlin.
What I know is that this is no ordinary child, and this is no ordinary queen. And so we need to keep an eye on this child tonight.
Yes, the child should be protected. It is only unfortunate that I, as mighty as I am still so drunk. Debilitatingly drunk. Actually, perhaps not. I do have a con of 16. I may still be able to function. We shall put it to the test. I shall take first watch.
Right. Maybe we should find where the child is.
We should find the room where the child is being sleeping and keep take turns keeping watch. Yes, I agree.
Yes, good. Excellent. A good plan. What think you, sir?
Can you make an energetic roll, please, Sir Caradoc?
Okay, energetic.
Energetic versus lazy.
I got a energetic. One under 14.
Ooh.
Okay, you are still dull and sleepy. You have not passed out yet. So you're minus 5 to all of your skills.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I shall do my best to stay awake or to fight anyone that tries to make away with this child.
This is all rather strange. I think they're going to have the child kidnapped or something. Why?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but do you... I'm still not sure. We're not... But what we do know is we're not dealing with an ordinary child in ordinary circumstances. Do all of you think that we should be the ones in charge of keeping watch over the child and let the chambermaid retire for the night? Or should we be keeping watch outside of the bedroom chambers itself?
I think it would be best to place a watch outside the chambers, for we know not whom we can trust and whom we cannot.
But if there is something magical happening, could they get into the room without us knowing? Somehow, even if we are posted outside.
Well, I put little stock in such things.
But it seems that those who are wielding this... He almost can't bring himself to say it. This magic, if it is to be believed, are those that... care for the child, no? I believe it is those who wish to cast it away that are locked into the use of their mundane means, their earthly ways. Perhaps if you watch the child's chambers, perhaps I could watch the lord and ladies. I am, after all, in the hall with him. I could keep an eye and see if he tries to do anything. Though I don't expect it. I'm not sure what to expect.
Yes, all right. I think that seems like a reasonable plan. Yes.
All right. I will do my best. I will say goodnight, and we'll reconvene in the morning and share what we have learned.
Yes. And we will all take turns keeping watch outside the baby's chamber.
Yes. I shall stand here in front of the baby's door till the morrow.
And we will see just how well this plan is enacted when we return from this brief break.
I can't read, stay tuned. I don't know if it's a terrible plan.
I have no idea. I think I can't tell. I guess we'll find out
after the break.
Yeah, we sure will.
That's exactly right. We'll see you very soon.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Changes in sexual performance are more common than most people realize, and support doesn't need to feel awkward. With MedExpress, everything happens privately online. Start by completing a short consultation reviewed by UK-registered clinicians. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your home, with ongoing support whenever you need it. You're not alone in this. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Welcome back to Pendragon, Under an Iron Sky here on the Glass Cannon Network, which you can support in one of two ways. You can go to chaosium.com and like buy the game that we're playing for 15% off using the PenCannon3 code. You can get anything in the Pendragon banner for that. If you want the screen that's come out or the Noble's Handbook, which expands the winter phase, you can look forward to that next week when we do another winter phase with expanded rules from the Noble's Handbook.
So it's weird now. Like, I'm in it. I'm having a great time in like the role play of this party. But I also find myself like looking forward to the winter phase. And then when you tell me there's like new mechanics and stuff, like I'm so in.
Yeah, some new stuff.
So in.
Yeah. Or the Savage King, which we might also be exploring in future episodes. But there's cool
I'm glad
stuff
the other way. The Savage King, which is how I keep reading it.
No. So we had to rename this.
Yeah, and it's Savage, like the men's cologne.
We had to rename this because it was called something else. I won't bore you with the details. But me and David Larkins is the, because I was a producer on this, David Larkins is the line editor, and he's like, oh, well, there's a setting, there's a king in it called the Savage King. I'm like, that's a pretty cool title. And then I don't think this is a problem, but some people point out that due to the font and the lettering,
it looks like sausage.
It might say the Sausage King.
King, bro.
Abe Froman, the Sausage King of Chicago?
The Sausage King.
Oh, no. I never dreamed I'd be able to play in the world of Ferris Bueller.
I was going
to
say Ferris Bueller.
We could get Nora's live Call of Cthulhu show from Gen Con last year, that character, to do another ad for the Sausage King Pendragon.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Stephanie Dorner.
These cuts are too deep.
Stephanie Dorner.
You could be across all.
Stephanie Dorner is on it.
You could be across all of the Glass Cannon Network shows if you go to, I think it's jointhenache.com.
Jointhenache.com, absolutely. Sign up to get so much access to a ton of different shows. Yeah.
So the only reason I'm hesitant and I check with Joe every time I say that is because of like 7 episodes ago when I very confidently plugged the Patreon, which does not exist. And so ever since then, I'm like, is this right? Join the niche. That's it, right? Yeah, that's the thing that you want people to go do? Yeah.
You can come to my Patreon. I mean, copy of the Sausage King.
Get your very own copy of the Sausage King.
I sent that to the fucking Rob Kirkovich for that shit. That was the funniest fucking, it's just like, yes, I just got a good deal on this fiberglass cow from a steak restaurant in Utica. It's like burned into my brain. Bring the kids, what does he bring the critters with you?
Yeah. Lowest price is guaranteed. Oh, man.
So good.
Brilliant.
$29.95.
$29.95.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. Just so I understand the plan. The plan is that three of you are going to take
the plan. The super plan complicated, by the way.
Is that three of you are going to take shifts guarding the hallway in which there's the room for the ward, and then there is also a room, the bedchambers of the Lord and Lady, newly wedded Lord and Lady. In the same hall is also the private bedchambers for other highborns who are visiting. So, Lord Edwalin, Lord Owen will be in here, and also Sir Quegan and the Lady Diana and their two children. So, three of you are going to take shifts guarding this hallway? That's the plan?
Yes. Is Queen Morgan also in this hallway somewhere? You
That's
know,
a
like
very
she
good
got
question.
A room in here.
In theory, she should be. Yeah.
Right.
In theory.
In theory. So they're all staying in the same hall. So
it's a long hall, but
it's a long hall. So we're kind of keeping an eye on everybody. Yeah.
I'm just going to hang out outside the bed. That's so Caradoc's plan is just to stand watch outside the baby, where the room where the baby is, thinking that it's very possible that his companions will all pass out and, you know, not be able to relieve him. So he's just going to stay. His plan is just stay there as long as he can. And if he gets relieved,
he's paradox taking the first little shift.
Do shifts of two and two, right? If two people are awake, two people are asleep, one person can guard the door while the other person just keeping a general eye and maybe can follow people.
On the hall.
Do the little shift walking around outside, maybe, too.
Yeah.
Just do a little circle.
Which I'd be down if Caradoc, if you're watching the door, I could kind of just do a little walk through.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. And so, Keegan, you are just going to bed for now?
No, I guess I misunderstood. I thought that the child would be in a different hall or a different location. I want to watch the Lord and Lady's room to see if anybody is going in and out of there or if they just stay in there for the night. So, the way I imagine it is that I'm close enough to hear any kind of shenanigans in the hall. So I'm going to stay in my room, but with the door slightly ajar. And just sort of sit up against the wall right by my door and to hear if anybody's in the hallway. I'm immediately going to peek out of that door and see.
Well, obviously, Lady Diana is used to this because you barely share a bed anymore anyway, I assume. So she
and
goes
you
to
keep
bed.
Making heirs. You keep producing heirs.
It's a mystery.
You have to visit the bed every so often. You know?
Assume what you will about our sleeping arrangements. You don't know what goes on. You don't know.
That's right. So Keegan hasn't met the mailman, clearly. He's a scrapping young lad. That's it.
Scandalous accusations.
What if it turned out that Llewellyn had gotten
and slander?
You have no honor.
Yeah, exactly. So, the room you're in has got there's a very lush feather bed in the corner where Lady Diana is sleeping, and there is a small sort of, smaller thing for the children to sleep on, which is still comfortable. They're not just on the floor. Then there is also like an arrow slit window, very, very narrow, probably about a foot wide, that looks outside down into the front. I think they said the front yard, but
courtyard.
It's not a castle, so it's not quite a courtyard, but like the front area where the entrance to the hall is, where that famous tree is, where everyone was hanging from, is down there. It is it is a gibbous moon. It is a cloudless night.
Do you say
gibbous?
So
relatively see well down there.
Gibbous.
Which one is it?
Gibbous.
Is it pronounced gibbous? Yeah, no, it's gibbous, right?
No, I don't think so.
He does pronounce it gibbous. I don't think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
No. So Keegan.
Yeah.
And there are candles in this room if you wish to light them and keep your wife and children awake. But they'll probably sleep through it, but it is up
Jesus,
to you.
Jesus, no. Please. The children are finally asleep. Everyone shut up!
Like crying themselves to sleep and terrified of
Father. That's the thing. It's so funny to me. Because we're role playing down there in the party, and you're like, she's carrying the two kids. It's late in the party, and meanwhile, the four of us are talking. Like, what a wonderful fantasy game we play. Because that's not what would be happening. What would be happening is the 9-month-old would just be screaming and screaming and screaming, and no one could even talk until they were out of the room. And so, I definitely. It's so funny because I'm like, I'm on this stakeout, right? I'm going to watch the hallway.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you would just have like a kid just, like grabbing at you. I have to pee. And be like, I'm trying to watch the Lord and Lady to see if he's going to kill a child tonight. Go back to sleep.
Bigger than you. And Dame Fiona, what are you doing?
Well, it's not my turn to take watch yet.
No.
So is Snoopy Winkles about anywhere?
I mean, maybe. But are you trying to get any sleep? Sort of more my question. What are you just trying to wander around and find him where he might be?
She's a drunk person looking for the after party.
Yeah.
I am tired. It is true that if I'm going to take watch at some point, I should sleep, and then they can wake me up and I'll take watch later. So where would be a good place for me to sleep? There's not really a room for me.
Corner of the hall?
Yeah, I'll just sleep. Because a lot of times those halls would have areas where that would turn into kind of where you slept, I think, right?
Yeah, so, like the hall at Gen Con.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't have to spend $400 a night on a hotel. You know, I just sleep in the convention center.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, I think I will say to Sir Caradoc and Dame Safina, wake me when it is my turn. Come and get me. I will try to sleep some of this haze off before then. I'll be in this corner.
Can you make an energetic roll, please?
Yes.
You get kind of mean, though. When you're in your cups and somebody tries to, you get kind of mean. So just be nice to me.
I don't want to hear that, okay? I'm sorry. I will try not
starting.
I try not to be mean. This is why I need sleep, okay?
You could either sleep now or you could keep drinking to stay awake.
I failed my energetic roll.
You failed it. So you pass out.
She's out.
And to Dame Safina's point, if woken, minus 10 to all skills.
Yeah.
So
I draw penis on.
Wow.
Absolutely useless.
Immediately draw penis on.
I draw penis on her face.
Yeah. You're like ash from the fire pit or something.
You're obligated. Yeah.
You have to.
It's party rules.
Party rules.
Party rules.
First one to sleep.
That's the
party
honorable rules. Thing to do.
Yeah.
So,
we took vows.
My crest. And Dame Safina, are you just resting somewhere else while you wait your turn? That's the.
I got the first shift.
Yeah, Caradoc. I know Caradoc and Egan are going to be up there. I'm just checking what you're doing.
Yeah, I will just post up in a corner, I guess, and just take a little nap.
Mm-hmm. So, Caradoc, it is getting very late. Most of the rooms are, the hallway is very quiet. No one has, people have sort of come and gone, like the chambermaids and whatever are coming and going a little bit as the people get settled. No one's super questioned why you're just loitering in the hallway. But, you know, that regal cloak really goes a long way. Being like, he looks like he belongs here, so, you know.
Yeah.
After about an hour, and Sir Quigan, you can... Assuming you... How drunk were you? Were you drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you make an energetic roll as well?
Son of a bitch. Thought you forgot.
Because you're sitting by the door, you might dot it.
In a dark room.
Might get a little dozy. Well, I would like to call on a passion for this role. Can I do that?
Ooh. Ooh. Yes, you can. Which passion would you like to invoke here?
I'm going to call on the passion of my hatred of Lady Montacute.
Okay. I hate her so much, and it's desperate that you find dirt on her or whatever, right?
Amazing.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch at all. Let's not forget, lest we forget, this woman is behind the death of all these knights because of her love affair.
That's true.
Who knows? In Sir Quigan's mind, he took this passion of hatred for her because of what she did. And obviously, we all know, like as players, that it's not so black and white. But Sir Quigan sees it kind of that way. And he believes that there's a chance that all this is getting put on Maurice. And maybe he's doing it without her knowledge. But wouldn't that be the craftiest move, as if she was actually behind all of it, too? I don't know.
Ooh.
So anyway... If that's the case, he wants to find out. So he's going to try to draw on that passion.
What is your hatred?
11. So it's not great.
11. Okay. All right. Don't go mad again.
Remember, that's the thing. It's like, if you draw on a passion that isn't a high number, do you just like have a really high chance of going insane?
No. So what happened is when you fail the passion roll, you make another roll to see if it actually affects you. And what you did is when you made that other roll, you crit. It was like
failed.
A 1 in 20.
It.
Yeah.
So it could,
something.
In theory, happen.
Okay.
It'd be tough.
But it's not like it's that much more likely if it's a lower number.
It is.
Okay.
No,
all right, here we go.
No.
Going to draw on this passion. Nope. Natural 17.
Fail.
Okay.
Now I just need to double check.
If he just loses his mind again right now, you could. It could happen. And
dude,
it is
crazy
rolling.
Shit happened tonight, too. Like, not to mention that the queen, first and foremost, obviously, the queen is a sorceress and like spoke into the mind of Dame Safina using the tricks of the wizard Merlin. Hello, crazy to a Christian, a God-fearing Christian, you know, not to mention the, the whole, the Snoopy Winkles thing and the Merlin and, you know, there's just a lot going on. Very eerie.
Okay, so a character suffering a passion crisis must make an unopposed roll against the passion that triggered the crisis. So you make that make roll against that passion another
roll
time.
Roll against that passion another time. Natural 19.
Okay. So you failed. So there's no effect. Okay. You were just like, okay. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now, so I get no bonus.
Now make the
and I have to make this energetic roll.
You're energetic.
Here we go. Oh, I made it though. 9 under 12.
Okay.
Oh,
nice.
There you go.
So you're still dull and sleepy.
Yeah.
But you're awake. But you're minus awake. 5 through all your skills.
Perhaps she is the victim here.
Maybe. Don't think about that too much. You'll question your whole character and go mad and disappear into the woods again. So, Caradoc, there is movement in one of the rooms across the hall, and a door opens, and a handmaiden exits, and she adjusts her like little hand thing, and she sort of giggles and looks at you, giggles, and runs down the hall the opposite way to the stairwell.
Whose room was that?
I go to the door that she just exited out of.
Yeah.
And I open it and I peek in to see.
That's you open it and peek.
So much for courtly graces.
This is how Lancelot was caught, by the way. That hasn't happened yet, but...
Yeah, I have a 15 chased rating, so I'm scandalized by this. I'm going to open the door to see.
And I will say, Sir Keegan, you hear the giggle from the hallway and footsteps like rush.
He opens the door and peeks out and he sees Caradoc move to a door.
Striding in his gorgeous cloak to the door. So you open the door. You've wasted no time. So you open this door. And as the door opens, you hear a voice from within. Oh, I just couldn't get away, could you? And turns around and hoisting up his breeches is the newly wedded Lord Maurice. And
this guy. On his wedding night, tell everybody this is my redemption arc.
What are you doing here?
Sergeant! How could you?
How could I?
Your wedding night! And I'm like, just at full volume.
Where is your lady wife while you're out cavorting with the staff in such a horrifically carnal way.
Do I have my sword? Am I armed?
Alarum.
Alarum.
Sir, I shall raise the alarum if you are not able to give me a satisfactory explanation of your activities.
First of all, I am your lord. You will hush, sir.
Oh. I'm going to come out at the sounds of Caradoc yelling and saying alarm and everything like that. I come
Your
out.
Children both wake up and immediately both start crying lot and loudly.
I'll kill the bastard.
Yes. There's a door that opens up and Lord Edwalin pokes his head out. He's got like crusted vomit around his cheek and he sees you come out. Kiki, what's going
I don't
on?
Know.
Okay, is this what I sound like?
Yes.
I can't remember. I think it was something like this. Yeah. Oh, look, what is this noise? Is it?
I'm going to find out myself, and I will let you know. There's a ruckus, and someone's yelling in the hall.
He closes the door.
He comes down. Caradoc, what is it?
I clear out the door like I come. I'm pointing in.
Yes.
Is there an emergency?
This knight here is drunk in his cups. He's coming in here and accusing his new lord of all this kind of stuff. He's got no place for it.
Please, perhaps we let our lord alone on his wedding night.
But he just... One of the serving girls just left. He was hoisting up his breeches when I opened the door. His nether regions are probably still stained with the evidence of his crime. Jack, look at him. Go.
Look at him. That reminds me of a music video that was on YouTube 15 years ago that I cannot repeat here, but... I hope someone knows what we're talking about. Yeah. Wow. It's horrible.
The servant girl was making up the bed chambers. Lady Gwynhild has a hard time sleeping. She has shivers in the night. I sleep in here. The servant girl was setting it up. You opened the door on me while I was mid-dressed.
Oh, of course. Of course. A simple misunderstanding. He is, after all, protecting and looking out for you, my lord. Isn't that right, Sir Caradoc? Isn't that right?
Can you both please make an awareness roll? Remembering that you're at minus five for being drunk and sick, right. Sequeak, and you only have one eye.
My awareness is currently a one.
Do you want me to take a further penalty for my one eye? Is this specifically sight related?
It is a sight thing. Yeah, it is a sight.
So, I mean, is it another minus five?
Yeah.
So it's a, all right. So I would net a zero. So then I don't roll it.
So you, I think you can, one will be a success if you do it. Yeah.
I rolled a fucking natural one.
Whoa,
dude!
So that will be a
check
a crit.
His pants.
It had. He gets into those nether regions, dude. He gets in there.
No, no.
Oh no.
No. I was going to draw your attention somewhere else. First of all, sorry. What are you opening? Tick the box. Tick the box and please note that you I will note in my notes that you did a critical success.
Ooh, look at that. I've never I haven't checked awareness.
Yeah.
Yet.
Mm.
Yeah.
What does he see with his one eye? I gotta get like a wrap and actually wear it.
Is that the bed? Is the bedclothes are very askew.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's just said she was here making up the bed for me, she did a bad job.
Right.
She did not do a good job.
She should be executed for that alone.
Where is the lady?
But I'm
Gwynhild?
Not there.
He sees the empty bed, like almost around. Like, where is she?
Well, she is in the other room across the hall. I sleep in here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did not know. My apologies. I thought... It doesn't matter what I thought, my lord. I'm very sorry. Congratulations. Sir Caradoc, please.
What I... I'm sputtering drunkenly as I'm escorted out of the room.
And Caradoc.
He points at Caradoc.
People will hear of this and these baseless accusations.
Oh,
Sir Caradoc, please lose 1 point of honor.
Oh no!
Because of this scoundrel, how dare you?
I hate him. Want to murder him?
Yes, yeah, murder
him and Brother Melian. Got to go.
Yep.
Two for one. Let's go.
Two for one. Yeah.
Let's do this.
How can we arrange both of them to hang out in one room? All right.
So you are now back out in the hall.
Yeah. So all right, back out in the hallway, whispering down. He's going to say. The bed was completely unmade. He clearly just finished with her. You're absolutely right, Caradoc. But now is not the time.
My honor demands that I prove myself to be in the right.
Oh, there will be time for that, but now is not the time. You don't have the leverage here. He cannot be proven yet.
Oh, he makes me so angry. If I didn't have a 16 in forgiveness, I can't even imagine.
All right, you are right. On his wedding night.
Yes.
Well, clearly this marriage has something other than love at stake. Not that I'd know anything about that.
Well, these things sometimes take time. I put my hand on his shoulder. It's like, there is love there, surely. What you must do is think upon the moment you first laid eyes on her. Meditate on it. Think about what it was like when you first heard her name. Gaze in her eyes. The geographic location where you first discovered your love for her. Perhaps revisit it with her. In these ways, you can restore what love there is to be had in your marriage.
Caradoc, you really must sleep it off. When is your shift over?
I suppose I should. By the way, is that baby all right? I've been standing out here arguing for quite a while.
I'm going to check on the baby.
You're going to open the door?
Yes.
To where the baby is in her ward, the two-year-old, right?
Thomas.
The one you're worried about. Thomas.
Thomas.
You're not your own children.
Not my own children. No, I don't care about them.
No.
This
he has no interest.
The child that matters in the story we're telling.
The
child with plot significance.
Yeah, the child with plot significance. Not the minor characters, Brian.
No.
Okay. So you open
not Jasper and what's
not
her face.
The extras.
No, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You open the door. and there is a small bed in here, very similar to the room that you have with the arrow slit window and everything. And there is a single candle burning by the windowsill. And sitting on the windowsill is Snoopy Winkle.
I just got chills, like, big time. That is so creepy.
It's fucked up.
I couldn't find him anywhere and went to sleep.
Snoopy Winkles, what are you doing in here? Shh, lower your voice. The child is sleeping.
What a...
Listen to me. This child cannot be allowed to be raised by another.
His voice is noticeably different to...
Yes, it is.
Caradoc, you're in the room too, correct? Or is
yeah,
it just...
Yeah, no, I definitely he was right behind me.
He goes... Must be raised by whom? The lady, Gwynhild?
Yes. That is how I feel. That is what I see. If this child were to be raised by another, there would be a circumstance that I cannot say would be grave or good, but a circumstance that would be notably different should he remain raised by the Lady Gwynhild. I am not confident in the role of these particular fateful dyes.
Meanwhile,
man, I'm like downstairs. Stunned. I'm speechless.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Downstairs. Dame Safina, did you say you were doing laps?
I was asleep.
You were asleep. You were both asleep, weren't you?
Yes.
Did you make that? You haven't made an energetic roll yet, have you, Dame Safina?
No, Safina.
You weren't drunk, though.
I was not drunk.
Boom. Everyone at home, that's how you do it. You don't get drunk, and then you might not pass out and miss half the story.
Yeah.
both of you. So, Dame Savina, I assume you're just in your regular chambers. Correct? Or did you sleep somewhere else?
You will have a place
to stay.
Okay. I didn't know I had my own room. So, I was like posting
not in
up
the
in
nice
a corner.
Part. In like yeah. a oh, they're posting up in the corner of like the,
I was posting
of
the
hall
corner
as
of
well?
The hall. Yeah. In
okay.
The hall.
That's great. You're in the same place. Both of you awaken. The fire is really low. So it's very, very late. And you awaken almost at the exact same time. Dame Fiona, obviously you're very groggy at your minus 10.
Shit.
But your nose is filled with a strong scent of cloves and lilac. The scent's so strong that it's almost like, did I wake up because like someone broke smelling salts under my nose. Yeah. There are a few other people, like peasants and some squires who are also sleeping in here as well as the dog. But you are now both awake in this otherwise silent hall.
Is that the scent we smelled when we noticed how good Queen Morgan smells?
Yes, very close to it.
Is she here? I will immediately look for her. Or do we just smell it?
You smell it. You can't see her anywhere.
But I'm awake. I'm awake.
The door to the hall, to the exit that goes out outside, is ajar. And it certainly wouldn't have been left ajar because, you know, the heat is a whole thing. And the sirens outside.
That's me, sorry.
Blaring, yes.
LA, folks.
Yeah.
I will go and look out the door that's open that shouldn't be.
Yeah, sorry? I'll go towards also as well, so maybe we meet at some point.
Dame Safina, you're awful, but I don't think this door should be open.
I don't think so either. Did you smell something?
Yes, it smells like Queen Morgan.
She's so good. But not as good as me. Let's go. What is why is this door open?
We will look.
You look outside. It is it is very dark. It is a cloudless night. But it is still quite dark, and the shade of that tree. The tree out the front where you many years ago now you first came upon it that was strung with the bodies of so many knights who I believe you buried at the base of the tree. Mm. That same tree is swaying in this crisp, very early air. And both of you, from inside your head, you hear Queen Morgan's voice yet again. And she says, "Closer, little rabbits, closer."
No, I don't like it. I love her, but I don't like it. Oh no, what do I do?
Mm. I'll probably put an arm out to just stop Fiona.
She wants me to be closer.
I know. She smells great and she's gorgeous and yeah, I get it.
I love her.
Listen, I get it, all over the place, man.
I know, it's so confusing. But look, you can love more than one person at one time.
You can't love four people in a night. I mean, I guess you could.
I don't love four people in one night.
I take exception to that. I think it is possible.
Now that I think about it, you know what?
You just have to believe
this theory, shall we?
Yeah. Sorry.
Here's what I will say. I'm drawn to her. I have this feeling of adoration. I think I must go.
Fiona, something's not right. Something is not right. Think of the child.
Think of the child. The voice again. Think of the child. Come to me.
That's not fair. That's what I said.
Could I?
Yeah, is there a roll? How do we feel about
can
this?
Can I roll for something to see? Like, do I feel trusting, suspicious? Yeah.
Trusting, suspicious,
or even like. Maybe this is wrong, but spiritual worldly, versus
worldly, yeah.
Because, like, what can I, like, almost, like, reach out for spiritual guidance?
Here's what I will say.
I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
So, Dame Safina, are you in two minds about what you're doing here? Or, like, do you feel you need to roll? Or do you think that your character would pursue?
I feel like Safina is just generally doesn't know who to trust at this point. Mm-hmm. She's concerned about the child. So she hasn't ruled out like that she can't trust Queen Morgan. So I think she would roll, but something about this is not sitting right with her.
Okay. So one really easy roll we can make to start with is Dame Fiona. Could you please roll against your adoration passion and let me know if you fail?
Yes. Okay, so I have 11 in this. So I rolled a 12, so I failed by one.
You do fail by one, so your the strength of your adoration does not cloud your judgment.
Okay.
Right now. So
right.
In this case, you can either I would either say you choose worldly or spiritual if you think that your character might be like maybe she is a messenger from the other side, or a trusting or suspicious, depending on. Yeah, and you say which one you would like to roll for first, depending on how you think your character is leaning.
I think I would like to try spiritual. Some of that is because I'm incredibly spiritual, but I think the reason is it feels like there's this idea that maybe she's connected to Merlin. And I think I'd like to test my spiritual or use that to figure out does it seem like they are connected? Because if I think she's on the side of Merlin, I would probably trust her. But if I think
my opposite,
then I would not.
Mm. I think that's Sophina's opposite because she feels like
this is weird to her because of her devotion to Christianity, to where she's like, this is the devil's work. I should not be hearing anybody's voice in my head except mm-hmm. God's. And this is weird to me.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Dame Fiona, you're going to roll against your spiritual.
Yeah.
And Dame Safina, are you also going to do spiritual? Or are you thinking suspicious?
I think her only reason to distrust is because of how religious Safina mm-hmm. is. So I think the spiritual would be apt in this.
All right, so roll against your spiritual then as well. Dame Fiona, did you succeed or fail?
I succeeded against my spiritual.
Okay, so tick your spiritual
mm-hmm.
and tell us just while Dame Safina is making her roll how Fiona then feels, you think, towards the situation.
I wanted you to tell me.
You know this stuff, right? So it's the, you know, it's if she does have some connection to Merlin, he told you in this dream while you were fighting for your life that, you know, there is some task you have to do to help reawaken the old gods.
Yes.
And that this is probably the most pious Christian that you know has admitted to hearing the voice of someone else in her head.
You have to go towards her. So, because this is proof. If nothing else, this will prove to you that the old magic is here. And we're knights. We can fight anything if we have to.
This is the devil's work. No voice in your head should be heard except for the voice of God. The only reason why I'm hearing a voice is because this is not of God. This is from the devil. You can't trust her because I rolled a 15 under 17.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm going toward her. So, you can come with me. And be there in case something goes wrong, or you can stay here.
Well, now you've put me in a position to where I must go in order to protect ourselves and protect you.
The trestle tables in the hall are still laden with like leftover food and cutlery.
Oh, she wouldn't have her. She wouldn't have her own stuff on her.
You wouldn't have been dressed for battle for the wedding, right? So
I'm gonna go grab a knife.
Yeah, like there's a really juicy big knife.
I'll
like
grab a couple
pig.
If I can.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you then exit together mm-hmm. the hall. It's quite cold outside. You the scent, especially for you, Dame Fiona, you can almost follow it directly. And it leads you just around the corner, underneath that tree. Around the corner of the hall, and that gibbous moon within that cloudless sky shines surrounded by the stars like the lights of so many candles as you go. And as you come around the corner of the hall, you see her there. She waits in the shadow cast by the stone walls, the warm light from the arrow slit windows piercing the dark before and after, where she stands alone, silent. Her green robes and red hair just barely distinguishable from the softness of her pale face.
Your Grace, why are you outside?
Because I need your help, my brave knights.
What do you need?
Help with what?
She looks at Dame Safina.
Dame, you know of what I speak. There is a child in this house, locked in a loveless parentage, who will soon be discarded to be enslaved by monks, or worse, by others. There is no love for him here, and I believe that he should go with me. I have love to give.
And she looks at Dame Fiona. She says that.
This is awesome.
Meanwhile,
yeah, exactly.
While you're thinking about that, back in the bedchamber of the child, where Snoopy Winkles has just laid that on you.
Speechless for a moment. I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm not really clear on what happened in our story in terms of what Quigan knows. Did Fiona say that
Snoopy Winkles was Merlin to Quiggin?
I think I did tell you. I told you that I had a dream where I saw Merlin in my dream that Snoop... I believe I told you everything thinking that you were going to open up to me about your fairy experience, yeah. And you did not. Yeah, you were like, you're crazy, bye.
I think I do remember
And I was like,
that.
Oh, okay.
But I don't...
So I think I have told you that.
You could totally be like, who the fuck... Why is the fucking court jester in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this another one of your ill-timed japes, Snoopy Winkles?
Well, no, says Sir Caradoc. I think that Fiona said that. I have a vague memory of that. So let's assume that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
He's stunned, speechless, in the presence of a figure of great, of what, dubious repute, right? And he looks across and he says, "Are you Merlin?"
And Snoopy Winkles jumps down from, he was sitting on the windowsill. And just like he did in Fiona's dream, he stands up straight and he appears to just grow so much taller than he possibly could have been. And he's got his long white beard. And he's still wearing the same clothing, which is maybe a bit silly. But he removes the hat from his head with the bells. And he just seems to take on a completely different air. And even as he speaks to you, he is now dressed in the robes befitting an archdruid.
Oh my god.
And that hat that he took from his head is a crooked wizened staff.
Oh my god.
So you have heard of me? I suspect that young Dame Fiona did share with you my secrets.
Yes, Sir Caradoc. Yes, Dame Fiona had mentioned to me that she was met by this man in a dream, and that he told her a change was coming.
Yes, no dream is ever just a dream. And Sir Caradoc, I know your family.
Yes, yes, Merlin. And I dropped to a knee. Said, "You are Merlin the Druid. My father undertook various quests for you in the year 498. It earned him this." And I pull out the polished amber knob.
Oh,
that knob.
And he gestures to the top of his staff, from which hang five almost identical polished amber knobs.
A kingly gift you received, Sir Caradoc. But now is not the time for nostalgia. Now is the time for what I believe is to be the protection of this child, for reasons that I cannot yet see her.
I'm sorry. Sir, I don't know how to address you, but I don't understand you.
Merlin.
What?
His name is Merlin.
Merlin, yes, of course. Archdruid. I don't understand your place in all this.
No! Neither do I!
What is it you want?
I'm still waiting to explore it. I want the good King Arthur to take his rightful place. The lord of all of the land, but he is facing much oppression. And the seeds of that oppression and that undoing, I feel, are in this hall tonight.
Back outside.
Oh my god, I'm so fired up. I'm so fired up.
I know, man.
This is awesome.
The queen looks at both of you, awaiting your response.
What can I do?
To show
you my own loyalty. What do you need? We care about Thomas, the child.
Yes, what do you know about this child, and why is your concern so great for him?
What I know is that his new Lord Father despises him simply for his parentage. I think it is a cruel way to raise a child. I myself have no children. My Lord Husband, who you may not know, is many years ahead of me in his time on this earth.
I would raise a child for love.
Well, there are many children in villages that are not properly cared for nor wanted. Why this one?
I dreamed of this one. No dream is ever just a dream.
No. I've had very interesting dreams myself. But if... why not? If they are intent on abdicating their responsibility to this child.
Thanks! Oh, boy.
Wow.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on.
You are really getting into character.
If there's a third one, we tell her to get herself together. Because
yeah.
I don't have a third. Oh, sorry.
Paula,
Oh, my gosh. Sorry.
We're doing a show. Just want to...
sorry, it's so gross.
Make sure you're aware.
I love blowing CJ, my nose in the middle of the show.
Clip that. We need more clips. More Pendragon clips.
If they are determined to abdicate their responsibility as parents to Thomas, why not offer yourself to them as an option?
Exactly.
Why sneak in the night?
Seemed like they would welcome it if that were the case.
I'm sure the Lord Maurice. I am less certain of the Lady Gwyn.
Well, if this is about Maurice, we all know where he stands. He's a slime bag.
He's a dick. But why would Lady Gwynhild not say yes if she doesn't love him? Thomas, I mean.
I want that child. I need that child.
And she looks at Dame Fiona specifically.
Wouldn't you like to give me what I need and want?
Oh, come on, Paula.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
She doesn't smell that good.
Yeah. I'm more lustful than chaste, everyone. I'm sorry. I would.
I'm not asking you to do anything wrong. I'm just asking you to take this. Place it in the hallway where the child sleeps.
What is it?
She extends her hand, and in her palm is a single river pebble. It's nondescript. It just looks like any other pebble that you'd see on the river.
All right.
She reaches forward, and she places it in your hand. And then
I thrill
closes,
at the touch of her fingers on my hand.
Closes her hand. Closes your hand over the pebble. Her fingers, you know, like her hand holding. She's very warm. And then she trails her fingers up the end of your knuckles. And she steps backwards.
Shouldn't smell that good.
Nobody smells that.
She's just harrumphing to herself.
What will this pebble do?
It will ensure the child has come to me. You needn't worry about the people. Unless your friend, named Safina, wishes to get between myself.
I only care about the welfare of that child. So if we do indeed want the same things, then we have an accord, don't we? She kind of says a little spice to it in her voice.
Back up in the bedchamber.
Well then, never thought I'd say it, Merlin, but we see eye to eye, and we want the same thing.
Well, you don't see eye to eye, do you, though?
Yeah, sorry, there's a difference. There.
Eyes to eyes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Yeah. The C squared on that triangle will make you differ.
Sorry, Joe. I have your moment. I'm sorry.
The Snoopy Winkles portion of Merlin was dying to make that joke, but he read the room, unlike some of us.
Yes.
I read no room. I read not at all. I have a zero in literacy.
She's not literate at all.
I, too, we.
He looks at Caradoc. Both Oh no, Caradoc is kneeling. It's amazing.
Yeah.
We both.
Yeah.
Well, so now we are eye to eye.
Yeah, exactly. You are eye to eye.
So he looks at Caradoc. Yeah. We both indeed wish to see the safe passage of the boy king to adulthood, to the station which he belongs. And
of course,
you believe strongly that this child has something to do with it?
Yes. This child's mother, she lives now in the other world with the fairies. She no longer is amongst us. He has no mother here. And I fear that the Lady Gwynhild should continue to raise him. And if this child is raised by another, it will cast a stone into the river of fate, ripples for which I cannot see yet the outcome. They may be good. They could also be ill. I was put on this earth to guide the King Arthur. And this is where my guidance has left me. I ask you now, with this uncertainty that I have, what might you knights think best?
Well, my Lord Merlin, I hesitate to say, looks back over his shoulder, but the child's father, prospective father, Maurice, he is not a man of honor. I caught him just now in coitus with a serving girl on his very wedding night.
Oh.
Can such a man be trusted with the parentage of such an important person?
Merlin,
I would not think so.
We are to understand that maybe simply a rumor, but that Lord Maurice seeks to move the child out from under Lady Gwynhild's care.
No!
But how are we to stop a lord?
No, well, that's why I ask you, Sir Knights. I am here in guise. She will not listen to no mere jester. But you, Sir Knights, this child, I fear, must not be raised by another, any other.
I understand.
Than Lady Gwynhild.
I understand, yes. Caradoc, we must speak with her.
We must, if that is the way of it. Neither of us would dare question the wisdom of Merlin the Druid.
I raise myself up to my full 7'6" height. Because he is. I have my size, 7'17". I'm roughly.
That's what the character sheet says.
In medieval times?
Yeah, I have the.
My God.
I have the basic sort of frame and personality of Manute Bol.
She says, yes, if you foresee this fate, then yes, we shall do our part to make certain that the Lady Gwynhild does not abandon the child.
We will see it done.
I must return now to my gaze. Speak to no one of what we have said here tonight.
Yes, of course. Of course, of course. Merlin.
Yes?
Are all the fairies evil?
No. But some of them do take great pleasure in evening out the evils of our world.
And with that, he strides across the room and opens the door to the hall. And as he steps out into the hall, he is once again Snoopy Winkles. And he hops with the hear his bell go ka-ching into the distance.
I'll take one more look at Thomas sleeping in his bed. Just thinking, looking at this, the face of a 2-year-old that through the ripples of a pebble thrown into a river could impact the seat of a king. Can't understand it. The son of a peasant. And he says, Caradoc, come, let the child sleep.
Oh, yes, of course. Can you believe we were just quested by Merlin the Druid? The Merlin the Druid! My father spoke of him.
I didn't believe
it. I cannot believe
right.
I'm following in his footsteps.
But there he was, right in front of my face.
I couldn't believe it. There he was. He talked to me. He's pretending to be a jester. This is incredible.
I won't see Snoopy Winkles the same way again. Oh. And then, shh, click.
He'll close the door to the boys' bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Back downstairs in the night. Queen Morgan has left you with the pebble. And she stands there in the dark.
I think we should go and do what we need to with this pebble, Your Grace.
Please do, Fiona. I would be forever in your debt.
And you just need us to place this pebble. And that's all.
In
that is all.
Way, how
that
will
is
it
all.
Guide him to you?
I am very studious, Dame Fiona. There are things that I understand that I could perhaps attempt to explain, but not in the wee hours. Not with the time we have.
And what if the Lady Montacute... And what if she objects? What if she comes for the child?
Well, that will be a burden on myself, not on you. If I understand you have loyalties to the Lady Gwyn, you can trust in me that no word of your involvement in this will reach her ears, should you not wish it.
Oh no.
So,
is this something I could keep a secret about? I am 17 honest.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're more honest than I am. But so Sophina will give a very apprehensive look when she's when Queen Morgan says that over she looks over to Fiona.
Well, yes. I will consider doing this. I think we should go back inside now.
I think we should go back inside now, yes.
It's really cold.
All right.
Returning to the hall, you are enveloped in the warmth of the hall, even though the fire is very low. And there's people sleeping in here. The limestone holds heat very well.
And I'm not sure if this is...
Yeah.
Please.
No, go. What are you going
to... I was going to say, I think as I'm walking, I'm like, I have my palm open with the pebble there, and I'm just like looking at it the whole time. Like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
We should maybe find Sir Quigan and Sir Caradoc and tell them what has happened.
Yes, relieve them of their watch duty.
Yes, I'm sure they're very tired.
So safe to say maybe Sir Keegan and Sir Caradoc, depending on what they, unless there's something they want to do in the hall, it's very possible that they might have had the same thought to go and tell Dame Fiona and Dame Sophina. But if there was something you're wanting to do while still in the bedchamber.
No, I think, please let me know. It seems reasonable that we'd go.
Well, I think we left the bedchamber. I think we're waiting for them to relieve Caradoc of...
Yes. Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously we'll impart at that time, but... This is set up so wonderfully perfect. I really, for my part, I just want to say as a player, I really want to lean in here. Like, I think that this is amazing. I don't see any reason why you would have real strong motivations to not put the stone in there. And then we have to sort of impart upon you what we heard, and we got to figure out what to do. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Brian Holland, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very excited.
But on the way, yes. On the way there, though, are we able to like maybe eavesdrop by Lady Montacute's bedchambers just to hear if she's awake?
Yeah, so if you walk out in the hallway to find
she's
the other two.
Just banging a servant, a footman. Just going to town.
And just make an awareness roll, please, Dame Sophina. No adjustments, because you are not drunk. You're probably really tired. It is quite late.
No, failed.
No, silent. So she's probably asleep. Or dead, who knows, you know? I don't know why would I say that. She's probably just asleep.
All right, well.
Mm-hmm. And Sir Caradoc and Sir Quigan are in the hallway.
There you are. Yeah, so as she doesn't hear anything, she just kind of walks by and mm-hmm. as we continue on to find mm-hmm. the fellas.
Yeah.
No, you could be here. We have
He looks right to Fiona as he comes up. Looks up at her, of course, obviously.
Yes, what is it?
I saw him.
Who?
Merlin. He was it. Bloody Merlin.
He visited. Snoopy Winkles, yes.
He was.
I told you.
He was looking over the child. You were right.
He was.
Fiona, it wasn't.
I was?
It wasn't only.
I told you.
It wasn't only a dream. It's real. Right, Caradoc? Yes. It's real.
And we spoke with Queen Morgan, and she gave us this pebble to put in the hole, because this is going to bring the Thomas, the child, to her, and she's going to take care of it, and that is the right thing to do. She wants the child. I think it's kind of odd. But she's working with Merlin. And Merlin, is she? Is she thought she was.
They seem to be at cross purposes, because Merlin told us specifically that the child was only to be raised by Lady Gwynhild and none other.
What?
Yes.
Why did she say she won?
But Lady Morgan said that they didn't want the child.
She seemed to show this great care for the child being left behind by Lord Maurice. But then it was Merlin said. Merlin said the child must stay. Yeah, we must convince.
Because something bad would happen. He said because something bad would happen if the child is not here.
Yes, he said. If anyone other than Lady Gwynhild raised the child, it would directly affect the ascendancy of the boy king Arthur to the throne.
What?
Yes.
What?
Lower your voice.
What? Sorry, what?
Lord Edwalin is awake right there. Sorry. He said that anyone else trying to raise the child could work directly against our king. Fiona, I believe.
Well, who do we believe?
Well, the queen may be. Oh, she may be pure in her purpose, but it is against what Merlin says, and I saw something in his eyes I've never seen. There was a genuine honesty there that I cannot quite explain. It is not like what you see at court. It's very different.
If I don't do this,
dangling knobs. He wanted to help but believe him.
What?
He was a man of
dangling
many knobs,
just like this one.
Dangling knobs where?
On his staff. Knobs dangling off his great crooked staff.
But you have to trust a man with a staff of many knobs.
So many knobs dangling there hypnotically. You had to have seen it. I cannot explain it properly. You had to be there, I suppose. But yes, this is the word of Merlin, the druid.
And the boy, and by the way, this is like, it's 511, right? This is the year 511.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is Arthur drew the sword from the stone 2 years ago. So this is like,
yes.
He's in the process of like consolidating his power and everything. So yeah, so it's like, this is our chance to elevate the chosen of Merlin, the boy king. He has tasked us with this.
Well, yes, but what do we do about Queen Morgan? She's very powerful. If she's able to put her thoughts into my mind, how does one explain that we didn't do what she had asked us to do?
If I don't do this, she will never love me.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
What? She has red hair too. She won't mind.
She's just not that into
honey.
Fiona.
No.
My head hurts, and I just like lean up against the wall and kind of like slow drag down the wall until I'm sitting on the floor. My head hurts, and I have this pebble, and she's so beautiful, but I trust Merlin, but I don't know what to do. And then I just will drop the pebble on the floor.
Oh.
As soon as it hits the floor, I reach down and grab it.
As soon as it hits the floor, you cannot see it anymore.
Oh, no.
Are you shitting me, Deming?
You heard it hit the floor. You heard it go,
what do
glunk,
we do?
And you're like, where did it go? And you could look everywhere. Maybe it fell under Fiona.
Oh, yeah. It's like it's
sorcery and witchcraft.
Yeah. It's just dropping a game piece off the side of the table. Mm.
and it just vanishes. Yeah. It was right there a second ago.
It's got to be in the crooks of the tiles, maybe, like the stone floor.
Where did it go?
I lost it. I'm sorry. I'm clumsy. Oh, I'm still drunk. I don't. I'm so sorry.
She's not going to love you now.
She'll never love you. I lift Fiona up over my head, like looking under her, shaking. Sorry, sorry.
Is it in my dress?
What did she tell you? What did she tell you about the stone?
That it would lead Thomas to her somehow.
Some sort of sorcery. Some sort of magic to work against what Merlin wants, Fiona. What have we unleashed? What have we
unleashed?
She's
going to be very, very cross with you.
I'm gonna roll here, pal.
I just want to show my desperation.
So awareness.
What are you gonna roll against? To search for the cool. So remember, you're minus five because you're.
He's just desperately looking around.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, unbelievable! Crit? I rolled a six over five, so close to a crit. Yeah. Didn't that happen to Paula early in our Pendragon?
Yeah, early.
She's like, oh, almost
a
crit.
12 over 11.
We called polaring it. We did it. It's a polar.
It's a polar. That's right. It's called a polar.
Yeah, that's what we said earlier.
You roll one over a crit. He's looking around. It's nowhere to be found. This is horrifying.
Yeah.
Did I do something wrong?
Yes. Yes, I did something wrong.
Yes. No one's blaming you. I'm very merciful.
I'm blaming you. What is she going to do now? She's very powerful. Merlin's very powerful. And we're stuck in the middle and we absolutely...
You were supposed to be on Merlin's side.
Here's the thing. Maybe it's good. Listen.
She dropped the stone. She did what he...
Listen,
the queen asked.
It was an accident. So we actually can't be in trouble because I did what Morgan wanted, but on accident, which means Merlin can't be mad about it. Okay, you know what? We have to be... What's happened just happened. We need to be solution oriented. Wait, what do we do now?
We look in.
Let's see if the child is
Thomas.
Still there.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I run over.
Look at the child.
Yeah.
Yes,
throw
we go
the
and run towards the child.
I guess you burst into that room.
Yeah.
No, it's just as you left it a moment ago. The child is still there.
He's still there.
Okay, good.
Look, it's fine. Okay. It's fine.
I'd like to roll against my merciful because I'd like to quickly forgive Fiona for this major gaffe.
Merciful or vengeful.
But he is so cruel. But
it would be forgiveness or vengeance.
Yeah, forgiveness.
Oh.
Forgiveness.
Oh, okay. Interesting. He's a little bit more forgiving than he is vengeful. That's good.
Yeah.
I'll roll against. Ah, all right. I rolled 10 under 11.
Okay,
so we're good.
Well done.
Yeah, so he understands it was a mistake. Yeah. Obviously, she didn't mean anything by it.
Tick the box, too.
Ticked.
Yeah, she's drunk. She didn't know what she was doing.
All right.
Would anyone else like to see if they forgive Dame Fiona?
I'm going
to
do the same thing.
Right?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
I also succeed.
Okay, I'm at a 10 and 10. Wow, this can go either way.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to do this against forgive. Okay, I rolled a 5 for forgiving, so I do.
Great.
All right, again, solution-oriented.
Honest mistake.
It's just, you dropped it, We didn't know it was going to happen. We just learned about Merlin. We just are putting pieces together.
I mean, I've known about Merlin since winter, but that's all right.
Well, thanks for sharing that now.
You don't have to brag.
None of you would have believed me.
Oh, we're all so impressed.
All right. Child is here. Child is safe. Nothing
child
has happened yet. Nothing has happened yet.
Yes, but
can I? What are we going
but
to
now
do?
We
odd,
must double
but
down.
I would like to.
In our diligence. To watch the child.
Can I look at Thomas
vigilance
and
is the word
see
I meant.
If the marking is still on him? Does it look different?
Yes, you go through. You can undress the baby while he's asleep. Oh, he's too.
Yeah.
He's so wasted.
He still has the mark.
He's taking
the
clothes
off
the sleeping child.
He still has the mark on his back.
What are you doing?
It is drafty in here.
I'm putting it back. I'm just making sure nothing's changed. That mark means something.
I
want to make sure it was still there.
What would you like to do? It is getting very, very late. We're probably like close to 4:30.
I would like to.
In the morning.
I grab knives.
I am going
Did you want
to
grab some knives?
I am going to sleep on the floor in Thomas's room.
Okay.
Because he feels like something magical is afoot. He doesn't know what to do, but he's going to sleep in this room.
So, Quigan, should you sleep in the room with your wife and let us sleep in here?
I am not letting you do anything.
I thought you forgave me. I thought you forgave me. You forgave me. Remember, no, you just said you forgave me.
I forgave you. It doesn't mean I believe you will never make another mistake.
Dame Fiona, why don't you go sleep in the other room with Quigan's wife?
And
Honestly, she'll probably enjoy that.
She's not into me.
Well, I'm not into her. She's not as beautiful as Queen Morgan.
Well, that's what I'm fine giving it to another player.
That's fine. I feel like I can't think of anything else other than sleeping in this room because we got to sleep.
I'm going to take watch. I'll take watch. It was my turn anyway. And I've got these knives. What do you have? Nothing.
What do you have?
That's right.
Nothing. You're short and useless.
Short, red hair.
Short, hateful man. I'm taking this. All right.
I also will not leave Thomas. I will stay in here as well.
All right. Then keep your vigil. I will go to sleep and I'll relieve you in the morning.
And I'll go to sleep in my room.
And Sicardo?
With my wife.
Yes. Whom I love.
Whom I love.
Okay.
I am going to go to sleep in Sergeant Maurice's room to ensure that no more servant girls accost him on his wedding night.
He's doing it. She's going to leave me here by myself.
You probably have to go down to the hall or to where you normally sleep, I would say.
I'll probably just go back to my own.
And Dame Safina, you are standing guard outside the door with the knives?
Yes.
No, stay in the room. Stay in the room.
I'm in the room.
Oh, Fiona.
In the room.
Yeah, she's in the room. She said in the room.
We're both in the room.
Okay. So, because you failed your role before to stay energetic, Dame Fiona. So, I'll say you will fall asleep relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Caradoc, you hit the hay real well. It's just a good sleep. Real good sleep. So Keegan. I mean, your sleep is just as good as it normally is, just a bad vibe. You've been in bed with somebody you don't like and it's just vibes are off. You know what I mean? Okay. Anyone else? Just me? Yeah.
Okay. No, just you.
No, just me. Everyone else said just perfect you. Romantic mystery. Yeah. Just me. Comment below if you empathize with my situation. Not my current situation. I love my life. The previous. Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
And Dame Safina. I will ask, what is your energetic rating?
Good question. It is 11.
Okay. I will ask you to please roll against your energetic, because even though you weren't drunk, staying awake, and there has been a lot going on.
Oh, yeah, so
much.
It was
a big night. And you're probably in the gym this morning, oiling up your arms.
I rolled a 16 over 11.
So just before dawn, you also fall asleep.
Yeah.
And the next morning there'll be a lot of things that happen. So in the morning all the serving girls and then the stable boys, then what they get up long before everybody else and they begin doing what they do. And in the case of these children who are by themselves, they would be awoken by these serving girls to go have some food and see, start their day before their lord fathers and lady mothers awake.
Mm-hmm.
While knights sleeping in this room would startle them, it's not particularly out of the order because, there's a big party. I guess someone had to sleep somewhere. But nonetheless, this serving girl, Beatrice, your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not your friend, your person who you know. You're not friends.
Yeah.
You're ridiculous. She unfortunately does... Does manage to wake the entire hall with an ear-splitting scream.
Oh my god, I knew it.
When she fails to find Thomas amongst those blankets. In fact, all that is in there is the scent of cloves and lilacs. And that is Pendragon under an iron sky.
So bad.
Y'all, I feel not on my watch.
Oh my god.
Oh no.
I didn't think.
Oh my god. Paula, you just in a heartbeat.
I just dropped it.
You rewrote the next like 5 episodes of our show in one heartbeat.
No, Merlin said he didn't know if it would be good or bad, so good things could happen.
Well, maybe we'll find out, because next week when we reconvene, we will have the best part of the whole game. Another winner phase.
And now with the Noble's Handbook. I mean, come on with this.
Yeah, all things going to happen. Exactly.
So excited.
So in the meantime, though, go buy some Pendragon stuff. Rewatch these episodes. So comment below about whatever you think about everybody's performances and people's choices, I suppose.
The important thing
to remember is that when a player, or an actor for that matter, portrays a character, that character's actions has direct correlation to the actor or player's personal beliefs and moral standards.
Yes.
So keep that in mind when you're commenting below. Exactly.
Thank you for saying that, Brian.
The audience needs to remember. The audience needs to just remember that I'm your favorite.
There you go.
Exactly. That's it.
Let everybody know
that.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
See you very, very soon. Bye-bye.
See you next time. Winner phase.
Hey, I'm Ashley, host of Crime Salad, and every week my husband Ricky joins me as my partner in crime. We know the true crime space is crowded, so we skip the loud, bubbly small talk and get straight to the facts of the most gripping cases. If you want to see what we're all about, check out our recent 2-parter deep dive, She Saved Him, Can You Save Her?, covering the baffling Rebecca Zahau case. If you want a true crime podcast that feels authentic and respects the details, come check us out. Search Crime Salad wherever you get your podcasts.
Reality TV is messy. Pop culture is louder than ever. And the internet, completely unhinged. Welcome to Roxanne
and Chantel,
the podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows,
spill the headlines,
and sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter,
no boring takes,
just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne
and Chantel.
Let's get into it.